Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode here at the Damage Report. Not just any episode. They're all unique in ways I make up on a daily basis. But this one, I don't have to do that much work because it's a Friday. And we have garbage. And it's political. All of that is fun. But the most fun thing, Viviana Vigil, who joins us once again. How's it going, Viviana?
What an intro. Thank you, John.
I try. Thank you for being here. It is a big day of breaking news. We just found out live, right before the show started, that our producer Marissa is literally as tall as the vampire lady from Resident Evil Village. So that's exciting. I don't know if most people knew that.
It's weird the things you missed during lockdown.
Exactly.
She's grown. The side effect of the vaccine, John.
They should talk more about that. Blood clots and gigantism. But anyway, thank you for being here, Viviana. It's been a bit since you've been on, and we certainly have a lot to talk about. We've got the ceasefire. Let's see. We've got the future of capital security funds and the squad strike back against it. We've got the closing down of a couple of the worst ICE detention facilities. We'll be talking about that. And then some awful people, some ridiculous people. We tried to inject a little bit of fun into Friday. It's difficult in today's news, but we also have a garbage can that needs filling. And so because Brett is off doing his secret mission, we get to give people an opportunity who don't normally throw stuff in the trash to do so. And so Viviana's chosen a garbage person. I'm very excited to find out what it is.
It's my second time choosing a garbage person, and it just feels so good.
Awesome. Do you happen to remember who your first was?
Who was it?
I don't remember.
There's so many.
I have to look that up.
It probably was Marjorie Greene. I mean,
probably.
I think it was her.
I was talking about her on the pre-show. She belongs there. Anyway,
She's a lovely lady. So kind.
You're not gonna get me started that way. Anyway, thank you everybody for being here. Regardless of what platform you're on, please hit the like button and share the stream so that more people know that we're active and can get involved in the conversation and in our community. And if you out there in the community would like to talk to us, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything like that, you can send us tweets, super chats, YouTube comments. If you're over on Twitch, we're gonna see what's going on. One of the things that's going on that I just wanna let you know before we launch into the news is that we have got an exciting launch. The TYT Twitch pitch. So it is the 1 year anniversary of TYT's Twitch page launching. And so we are gonna be looking for our next stream star. And we're asking viewers to send in their TYT Twitch pitch. In the past, TYT has found what I am reading. This is not my, they say incredible talent, such as John Iderola, who submitted videos to TYT. I'm not saying that. The person who wrote it is saying it, and I'm loving it. But anyway, if you are interested in possibly doing some video content, some streaming for us, you can send in a 2 minute audition video displaying your interest in politics, your knowledge of Twitch, because obviously, you know, it's a little bit complicated, and other subjects of interest, including gaming, sports, music, and all of that. You can submit the videos by tweeting at the Young Turks using the hashtag Twitch Pitch hashtag. That is Twitch Pitch with a P. If you do the other one, we might not see it. So be careful there. But that is the Twitch pitch. Very exciting. Also, by the way, to commemorate the anniversary of the launch of the channel on Common Room, we're gonna be playing some games. And so I might actually join them for a little bit, but Brett and Brooke, and I believe you're gonna get involved too. I don't know. I'm not leading it. But anyway, look forward to that later on Common Room as well. And now, with all of that said, Viviana, you ready to talk about some news?
Rocket, John.
You say that you are, but are you really prepared to talk about some news?
I'm ready to rumble, sir.
Yeah, that sounded definitive. In that case, okay, we can move on. Many people, including this program, have been pushing for a ceasefire between Israel and Palestine, and now we have it. Announced yesterday, and now in effect, the ceasefire between Israel and Hamas went into effect at 2 a.m. local time on Friday and came after nearly 2 weeks of air attacks between them. We're not gonna go over all of the history of what happened in those 2 weeks. I just wanna point out one fact because it's sort of being lost. Maybe accidentally, almost certainly purposefully, and that is that the violence was set off back on May 10th, in part by Israeli police raids on the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound and clashes with Palestinians during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. Just keep that little factoid in the back of your mind as we proceed with this story about the ceasefire. So anyway, the fact that there's a ceasefire, a lot of people obviously are very happy about that because it means that at least in theory, far less civilians will be killed. massively disproportionately Palestinians. So if you don't want to see dead civilians, it seems like a good thing. That said, some questions remain. Raised by people like Representative Ilhan Omar, who say we should all be grateful that a ceasefire will prevent more civilians and children from being killed. But now what? We need accountability for every war crime committed, and we need to stop underwriting crimes against humanity while doing nothing to end the occupation. Representative Cori Bush buttressed those points, saying a ceasefire ends the bombardment, not the violence. The Israeli military's occupation continues, the blockade continues, the ethnic cleansing continues. Our government must stop funding the apartheid status quo. And these are all great points. We obviously have late breaking developments in the ceasefire, but Viviana, what do you think about the ceasefire that's been reached?
Arguably, it didn't begin on May 10th.
I mean the most recent violence.
Has it ever stopped?
Really fast, it's important to point that out because some people, including news anchors like Jake Tapper, say that the violence began with Hamas firing rockets. That's insane. Sure, we can go back. We can go back to the 70s, the 60s. We can go back 2,000 years ago, but we at least have to go back to May 10.
Yeah, we have to have a whole semester in college to really, really go back. I watched Joe Biden speak on it briefly yesterday, and all I heard is we're going to continue giving Israel weapons, and we're going to continue punishing Hamas, which is funny to me because that's not who's getting killed. So I'm not sure what that speech was meant to do. And the ceasefire, I don't want to give any spoilers of The Handmaid's Tale, but it reminded me of something that happened on last week's episode.
I said that yesterday. I said that yesterday, that there's weird crossover.
You're totally right. So we're going to cease firing, but we've also killed. I mean, it's just been so ugly to read the news, you know, how they report it. You know, they talk about the Israeli children, which there's no life that's worth more than another. I'm not saying death, I mean, it's just equally horrific. But the way it's reported is there's Israeli children that had been killed. There's two of them. They list their ages, and then they go 20 some, you know, Palestinian kids. We don't, no ages, no, there's no human attached to it. It's just very divorced from that, and it's very sad. But what can we expect from a country that did that itself? I mean, this whole manifest destiny in Zionism, kind of the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, how much does the US really want to come to grips with the horror of drone striking or missile striking civilians and wiping out a wedding party and stuff like that? Like, we are criticizing Israel for doing that, but we also, I think to our credit, and it's necessary, have done that to the US because the US has done that all over the world since before we were born. So,
and in this own, and on this land that we're sitting on right now, I mean, there's been genocide, there has been occupation, there has been settlements, there's been imperialism globally, like you mentioned. So it's, I'm really hoping more people don't get hurt. And I honestly, I don't think we're gonna see the end of this anytime soon.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called The Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of The Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
We hadn't even had the opportunity on the show yet to say that the ceasefire had been reached before at least in effect, if not technically, if not accepted by the media, the ceasefire was violated. So we have this, AJ Plus tweeting, Israeli police stormed Jerusalem's Al-Aqsa Mosque hours after the ceasefire began, firing rubber bullets and stun grenades at Palestinians. Witnesses say some Palestinians stayed after Friday prayers to celebrate the ceasefire. Police claim that there were riots. So we have more details, but first I wanna show you a little bit of video that was posted by AJ, English journalist Arwa Ibrahim. Here's the video that was spread earlier today. Okay, so again, as we talked about at the beginning of this most recent round of violence, which is why we pointed out there, the Aqsa Mosque obviously can't be overstated how significant it is to Muslims. Stun grenades, explosions were set off. That's really what precipitated the beginning of this, and it's now happening again, just hours after the ceasefire, Viviana. Almost as if to send a message that this doesn't violate the ceasefire. This wasn't violence from their point of view back when it was happening 11 days ago. It's not violence now. A ceasefire is, we'll maybe stop bombing for a little bit and you definitely can't do anything. But then we can come in and we can stun grenade people, we can knock people out with rubber bullets and all of that. All of that apparently is going to be allowed.
We can continue to terrorize an entire population, an entire people who have to live. I mean, what's crazy watching that is some of those people were not even fazed. They're just like backing up, like they're used to this. And I can't even fathom living in a world where there's bombs going off constantly like that. And you know, I'm not a religious person, John, and I know you aren't either, but you know, this is what I hate about religion, is that people use it as an excuse for violence and for grabbing power. And it's just really horrific because a lot of people really find a lot of solace in religion. And I understand that, like, I wish I could say Jesus would take the wheel and all my problems would be solved. Like, I wish that was the case. But there are people who are comforted by that. Same for, you know, for the Jewish religion, same for Muslims as well. They have a lot of comfort in their religion. It's part of their traditions, it's part of their culture, it's part of their family. So to disrespect that and to desecrate those kinds of sacred places for those people is really cutthroat. It's really cold and mean. And Israel would be and is upset when you throw bottles at it. So I can imagine that they could understand that demolishing a sacred temple would be upsetting, you know, as it's happened here in the United States. There's been temples, you know, that have been vandalized and bombed, and you know, all of us are up in arms because it's horrific. So it's hard to see how some people don't see that that's the same thing.
And speaking of the same thing, by the way, I mean, look, when I tweeted about this, about the violation of the ceasefire, or what I think should definitely count as a violation of a ceasefire, people are like, well, you know, the Palestinians did stuff too when that happened. And that is true. Witnesses on the ground say that Palestinians threw Molotov cocktails and stones at Israeli police. Yes, they did do that. And I would love to tell you that that's the same, but I'm not an amoral idiot and I'm not gonna do that. So yes, people have been brutalized, occupied, violated, all of that for longer than everyone in that crowd has been alive. They did lash out and they shouldn't. Don't throw Molotov cocktails at people, but also don't seem super shocked when Molotov cocktails get thrown when you're bombing a mosque again. Like,
I mean, if somebody's punching you in the face, should you not try to defend yourself? I mean, that's kind of what I feel like is happening to the Palestinians. I mean, they're walled in, occupied territory. They're not treated as equal citizens, even though they're half the population of Israel. They're not represented. So it's hard to understand why people are so, they threw a rock. Well, that means we should kill our kids. Like, I don't, isn't that a little bit of a David and Goliath kind of thing? Like, the power structure is not balanced here. So it's not bad people on both sides. You know, obviously bad things are happening on both sides, but we have to sort of pull ourselves and get some context for this situation and not just say, oh, well, it's war. It's not war. This is not a balanced situation.
Exactly, exactly. The effort to increase funding for Capitol Police has gone through, although it was not universally supported. Notably, we're to give you the arguments of those who stood against that. US House Democrats barely passed a $1.9 billion bill to fund security measures on Capitol Hill Thursday after progressive lawmakers objected to the premise of the legislation that the Capitol Police and other security personnel need additional funding to better protect federal buildings in the wake of the January 6th insurrection. It is the Emergency Security Supplemental, passed 213 to 212. You don't see that a lot. That's pretty close. It includes $43.9 million for the Capitol Police, over $520 million for the National Guard, and $250 million for security improvements on the Capitol grounds. $250 million for security improvements on the Capitol grounds. I assume the whole thing is just levitating now at all points. It's levitating. Hey, I think that's the Lincoln Memorial. Anyway, I don't know what else they could be spending the money on. But Viviana, we do obviously have some progressives who spoke out against this. Jamal Bowman, Ilhan Omar, Cori Bush all said that a full accounting is needed of how hundreds of supporters of former President Donald Trump and white supremacists were able to break into the Capitol on the 6th as lawmakers voted to certify the election results, including whether Capitol Police officers were complicit in the attack. And we'll have some more of their quotes in a little bit. But what do you think about this, about how close it was and who stood against it?
I mean, it's obviously a political thing going on, and I am against it as well, because the police were a problem that day because they were told to stand back. And that's what this commission needs to be looking at. What happened? If lack of police and lack of police funding were the issue, wouldn't we have like rabid mobs attacking the Capitol daily? Like, it's a free for all. You could just go. There's just one guy with a cup of coffee. That's not what's going on. We saw many of these Capitol police officers kind of just looking the other way. Obviously, you know, there was a lot of violence towards them as well. So not all of them were, you know, complicit, but I think it's worth examining what happened. And, you know, we saw the strength of the National Guard coming in when Black Lives Matter was picnicking. You know, so they were sure coming in and throwing smoke bombs and whatever else they were doing. We see the strength that our military has and that the police power has. You know, we have all this money to keep funding them, but we can't do healthcare. We can't, there's no money for that, you know, but we can. So let's have a commission to see what went wrong, and then let's decide if we need to fund them further.
Totally.
I suspect we don't at all. I'm gonna stand by defund the police. I'm even going as far as abolish the police, as you know, John, because the system is just corrupt, as we see every single day. That poor man, two years later, we see that he was killed horrifically. You know,
Ronald just Green,
just a couple of days. 2 years later, the footage comes out. I mean, time and time again. So I support Bowman. I support Omar. The rest who were against it, because it's just doing the same thing over and over and over again, giving more money to. We need to be focusing on these patriots and punishing them. And let's look at all of them that have been arrested. What do they all say? Not my fault. Donald Trump made me do it. I'm crazy.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and like I'm there. Yeah, you've got some major issues, and Donald Trump is definitely involved in it. But you're also still kind of responsible for what you do.
Oh yeah.
That's the way it works. And look. In terms of whether this is needed, we've got some numbers which we're gonna give you. But I did wanna mention, because I saw it being talked about in Twitch. So three lawmakers did vote present. So Jamal Bowman, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and Rashida Tlaib did vote present. I mean, we will see what they say about that. That is not the same as voting for it. It's not the same as voting against it. There have been notable high profile cases of lawmakers voting present on important legislation that I personally despised. In this case, I mean, it's not a vote in favor of it. It still could have failed, but I don't know. I'll wait to see what they have to say about it. But first, here is what some of what they had to say in advance of it. There's a statement from Cori Bush, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, who said a bill that pours $1.9 billion into increased police surveillance and force without addressing the underlying threats of organized and violent white supremacy, radicalization, and disinformation that led to this attack will not prevent it from happening again. That is, I think, an indisputable point.
Yeah.
The issue with the January 6th was not that they didn't have enough resources.
Right.
It's a lot of things, but it's not that. They had resources. They didn't use resources. Yeah. Also, like there's all the people that encourage it and all that. Like, it's not. I wish I had a billy club right now, but we couldn't afford it. That's not what happened.
I anyway. Read that they actually didn't use like the strong riot gear shields. They had like the mild shields. I don't know what the difference. Why there's two. This is why we don't need to defund the police. They have two different types of shields. Really, they need more shields. Like, this is the problem. We need to know why that mob was there. How did they come together in that large of a group? How did they coordinate? How did they have the cojones to storm that Capitol? Yeah. Somebody told them it was gonna be okay. Somebody told them that they were gonna look the other way and there weren't gonna be barricades. We need to get to the bottom of it. What is the harm in looking into this? You could have been killed.
Every Republican thinks there's harm. Every Republican, even the ones who are cowering. Yeah, now are
by against. Their own admissions. Those patriots are crazy by their own admission. So you really gonna trust these people to come in there and they're not gonna hurt you? They were defecating and peeing all over the place, John. I mean, these Republicans were the same ones that are so upset that people broke into a Target. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But the Capitol, that's okay. That's just some hoodlums, boys being boys.
And by the way, so it did pass. They're getting the extra funding, but you should understand that before this, the Capitol Police was already one of the best funded law enforcement agencies in the US with a budget last year of $516 million, up 11% from just the last year. So I don't know, I feel like that's a lot of money. I feel like they were doing okay before.
The argument was that some of that money should be towards mental health care for these people that suffered the trauma, for the Capitol Police. We've already lost two people to suicide?
Two people,
And the congressmen, the staff that are working there, their families. This was a really traumatizing experience, even just to watch from thousands of miles away. So
And by the way, there's a lot of people obviously who voted against it. So we seem to be agreed that we're against it. But understand, you can be against something for very different reasons. Some of them are against it because Donald Trump is gonna kill me if I vote for this or whatever. It doesn't seem to be needed. It doesn't, doing this won't solve the problem. In fact, it might distract from potential solutions. So let's have a little bit of nuance. If you have been paying attention to the absolutely horrific conditions in immigration detention facilities throughout the country over the past few years, there's been a lot of good reporting about it. Some actions by lawmakers to strike back against it. Well, we have a little bit of good news for you. At least a bit. DHS said in a statement that Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas directed US ICE to discontinue the use of the C. Carlos Carrero Immigration Detention Center at the Bristol County Jail in North Dartmouth, Massachusetts, and to prepare to discontinue the use of the Irwin County Detention Center in Ocilla, Georgia. So those are both facilities that we have talked about on the show previously. Irwin at length, and we will give you details about those. But the acting ICE director said that we will not tolerate the mistreatment of individuals in civil immigration detention or substandard conditions of detention, which is a good thing to say. It remains to be seen if that's a general principle or if after years of activism, they will shut down two of the facilities that personally drove the most negative attention. Is this going to be applied to all facilities? That remains to be seen. We have more, but Viviana, they are closing down these facilities. That seems good.
To answer your question, no, it's not going to be applied to other facilities. I wish I could be excited and think that. But here's my reaction. Wow, what a step. What a move. you closed down a torture center. Wow, why would you do that? They were torturing people and ripping out their uteruses. Like,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, this is something you needed to do. We need to move towards abolishing any for-profit prisons. It's happening here in California. It needs to happen nationally. It is obviously something that is going rampant, this kind of abuse. They don't have any control over it. These people don't feel like they have any rights. Very brave people to speak out against these facilities, to come forward. These are undocumented people who just put everything on the line to really make sure for others. They did it for others, and that's what gives me chills about this. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I feel like Mayorkas is just skimming the surface here to placate, the people who are against human rights violations. And honestly, there's been a lot of placating and pandering That's how I feel about Biden even appointing Mayorkas, because he was a Cuban American, like he's Latino, when he's really of Turkish and Polish ancestry, and he only came to Cuba after the Holocaust, which I'm glad his family fled. After the Holocaust, they were a wealthy family that owned some sort of factory there, and then they fled to the United States. So don't tell me that he has the Afro-Cuban experience and he understands really what these immigrants are dealing with when they're coming into this country, because he was welcomed and his family was welcomed with open arms. So don't appoint someone like that and say, hey, I'm reaching out to the Latinos out there, because he doesn't represent us. And clearly he's thinking that he can just, you know, close down a torture center and then we're gonna applaud and think that this is great. Mm-hmm. Biden has continued the same human rights violation that Trump has, and continued the Trump policies that he said he was gonna get rid of. And I understand the pressure. I understand there's a lot of, you know, people coming towards the border seeking help. But just like our involvement in what's going on in the occupied territory in Palestine and what's going on with the Israelis, we need to take accountability for what we're doing that are bringing these people to our border. And also, we need them here. There's a lot, all I hear on Fox News is nobody wants to work. Nobody wants to be exploited anymore. Isn't that weird? We have—
it's a shame, workers. Really.
Yeah, we have people that need to fill jobs and there's people that wanna work. Yeah. But we want a scapegoat, so here we got one. Thanks, Mayorkas, for closing down the torture center.
Yes, yes, I agree. We should not applaud necessarily a ton. I would say more, we should not, as clearly Viviana is not, be deceived that this necessarily represents a full change of stance on these issues. But these are bad facilities, so I'll give it this.
Yeah, I hate to be a downer.
Anyway, the realism is not a downer. The DHS has announced that they are going to be closing two of the worst immigrant detention facilities. And I want to remind you of how bad these are, and also give credit to those who seem to have led to these being shut down. Now, there's a number of different awesome advocacy groups that have been pushing for these and other facilities to be shut down for many years. But also, there are some lawmakers who have been pushing for it. Back in March, Representative Ilhan Omar led a letter from progressive US lawmakers urging the Biden administration to sever the financial incentives fueling an abuse-ridden system of mass incarceration by ending immigrant detention contracts with local jails. And in that letter, they specifically mentioned Bristol County Jail, where the Massachusetts Attorney General's office found that officers sicked dogs on migrant inmates and assaulted them with pepper spray, resulting in at least two hospitalizations. So look, these two facilities stood out as being both really bad and ones that journalists got access to and got information from. Doesn't mean that they're the worst. No, it means they're ones we found out about.
Yeah.
But they were bad, and so it is good that they are being shut down. I want to remind you of some of what happened at them, because Irwin is one that we talked about many times on the program, and I had been left wondering for literally months. Oh, thank you very much for the raid, Lucid Fox. I very much appreciate that. And welcome, everyone. We are talking about DHS shutting down some of the ICE detention facilities. So I'd been wondering ever since we did all those stories about the hysterectomies and the, what did they call the guy? It was the, they had a terrible name for him, the something, a collector of something. Anyway, were they gonna do anything about this? It's the sort of thing that you would expect that Biden could just do any day, totally on his own.
Too
and
much
so finally they did.
Pressure.
Too much once there's pressure. Enough, yeah. Sure.
No, on the other side, he has to punish these immigrants, otherwise he's gonna lose the Republican support that he doesn't have.
that was the background of their attempt very briefly to go back on re-raising up the refugee cap. Sources inside were saying, well, I don't know, they're really hammering us on the border. Like, do we really wanna seem like we think these are humans? But anyway, but again, on that issue, and again with Representative Omar, they pushed back and he eventually conceded that they would raise it like back to the paltry level it was at a few years ago. Yes, the uterus collector, thank you. So anyway, at Irwin, one former detainee, Pauline Binham, said she had her, this is terrible, said she had her fallopian tubes removed without her consent. The LA Times reported on the accounts of 19 mostly Black and Latinx women who underwent or were pressured to undergo overly aggressive or medically unnecessary surgeries without their consent while detained at Irwin. Project South's legal and advocacy director said that we found evidence of sexual abuse, inadequate medical care, lack of prenatal care for pregnant women, a lack of clean drinking water, and rampant use of solitary confinement at the facility. facility. Detained immigrants who have spoken out about the conditions have faced retaliation. That has been a constant. You speak out about this, you can get retaliation. You can be deported as a result of it. And let's also add that much of this abuse predated the pandemic. But yeah, once there's a pandemic, you also have a significantly elevated chance of getting sick or dying from COVID if you happen to find yourself in one of these facilities. So there's a lot of bad ones, but Irwin seems to be one of the worst that we at least know about.
Well, that's what you said. You know, the journalists got access to it. People spoke out, and it's very scary to do that. And there, and because of COVID, it was a lot of reasons for, you know, the lack of transparency. Well, we can't, COVID can't show you what's going on in here. But forced sterilization of Black, Brown, and Native people has been happening for hundreds of years in this country, and it continues. There's a documentary on HBO that a friend of mine produced. I think it's called For Rosa, about sterilizations that happened in Los Angeles County. It was happening at the county hospitals even as late as the 70s. So this is something that is a method, just like trying to deter people from coming to the border by ripping their children away. This is another method of scaring and terrorizing people. Don't come here, we will abuse you, we will rape you, we will sick dogs on you, we will treat you like worse than animals. Because I mean, it brings me back. I was a social worker for many years, John, and child abuse laws only came into effect in this country when somebody brought a case to the court and pretended the child was a horse. And in that case, they were like, this is horrible abuse of this court, of this horse. And then they were like, no, it was actually a child. It was a child, actually. And then they were like, wow, I guess we need to have this child abuse laws. If you can't abuse a horse, jeez, then you should. And so this is what we're dealing with now. We're having to say, wait, these are human beings. These are not criminals. That's the thing. These people are not murderers. They're people that are just coming for a new life because we ruined their countries.
Yeah.
Simple.
Well, look, I'm glad that you brought up the history of this because as is so often the case, our minds think pretty much alike because we also need to talk about, look, the fact that Irwin is as bad as this and that this was going on up until, well, right now, actually, because they're only prepping to shut it down. It's still going on, is terrible. It also is kind of what you should expect out of the US because from 1919 to 1952, just California sterilized approximately 20,000 institutionalized people because they were deemed unfit or defective.
Yeah.
From 1929 to 1974, at least 7,500 people were sterilized in North Carolina alone, most of them without their consent because the state eugenics board, which was a thing that existed, claimed they were unfit to reproduce. Many of them were poor Black or indigenous women. The records show that children as young as 10 were sterilized.
Yes, yeah. And there has been recent legislation proposed to sterilize women on welfare. There has been the same legislation to drug test families that are accessing, you know, food stamps. Well, we shouldn't give them money so they could take drugs. Why are you assuming they're criminals? Mm-hmm. And just the mere fact that somebody has the thought that someone should be sterilized, like you should decide who gets to be a parent. And these are the same people who are pro-life. Yeah. So they want you to keep the baby, but not if we don't think you're deemed for it. We want to rip out your insides. That way you don't get to have a choice in your matter. I mean, this is why women's bodies have been under attack in this country and many other countries for many years and why we need to protect it at all costs. Agreed. They did it to men too, John. They did it to men too.
Yeah, and a lot of the numbers are very recent. This isn't 2013, we've got cases in California. No, but California's great. It's the best. Come on. Libs are in control. It's all fine. No, it's not. Anyway,
a lot of hatred here. It's a big state.
It is. This started off as a semi good news story. Anyway,
I'm so sorry.
No. We were going to get to this. We had those numbers. It's just, oh God, America. That's gonna be my book eventually. Oh God, America.
But we can't be easily placated. We cannot. Yeah. This is too big of an issue. So it's like, okay, great. Okay, you stop whipping people. You stop ripping out their organs. Okay.
Yes.
Not really. Just there. Just in that one facility. Great. Two facilities. Oh.
It's like the big thing for Republican congressmen and women to have an issue with having to wear a mask. And Lauren Boebert wants to get in on that. She and others are rebelling against the requirement that members of Congress wear a mask while on the floor of the House of Representatives. Today, Marjorie Greene tweeted, that Nancy Pelosi, who she called Speaker Mask Hole, wants her to wear a mask. Meanwhile, she's at the White House not wearing a mask. I mean, look, it's a fine point, I guess, but kind of missing that all of the people in that room were vaccinated and you guys don't want to get vaccinated, which seems like a big difference. But anyway, Lauren Boebert was recently on an absolutely insane right-wing show and network that I'm not going to mention because I don't know and you won't either. But here's what she had to say.
You know, I'm really enjoying telling Speaker Pelosi to kiss my mask, though. Yesterday, Thomas Massey, Madison Cawthorn, Brian Mast, Beth Van Dyne, and several other colleagues joined me in refusing to wear a mask on the House floor. Thomas Massey and I both got warnings, and both of our letters ended up in the same exact place, ironically, the trash. Leftists won't even listen to the bureaucrats at the CDC, and it just goes to show that this party's follow the science slogan is a total joke. Just like this entire administration, just like the entire Democrat Party. They want to tell you to listen to science and listen to data and facts, but they haven't done that for more than a year. 2 weeks to slow the spread turned into communism really, really quickly. Now it's show me your papers. But don't forget, Gina, Texas removed their mask mandate 2 months ago, and Sleepy Joe called it Neanderthal thinking. No, sir. Republicans are just following the science. And since removing the mask mandate 2 months ago, Texas has not reported a single COVID death, not one.
Oh my God. I thought that I had been, like, I tried to follow what's going on with COVID. That's an amazing success story. Why aren't more people in the lamestream media talking about that? Oh, because it's made up. She just totally made it up. So Texas Governor Greg Abbott lifted all COVID restrictions in Texas back on March 2nd. According to data provided by the Texas Department of State Health Services, if you can trust them, the state had recorded 46,538 deaths at that point. As of May 19th, Texas has reported 50,051 deaths, meaning that according to Texas's own COVID-19 total fatalities by county chart, more than 3,500 people have died of COVID-19 since those restrictions were removed 2 months ago. Now, she said there were zero, there are 3,500. I will give her partial credit because there are a couple of zeros in 3,500, but she is in effect to make yet another stupid point, erasing 3,500 deaths. Not one of those person counted to her if she could use it to speak out against the communism that we had right after the lockdowns. Notably, when Donald Trump was still president, we had communism for like a solid 8 months after that.
Because he started, well, Pence, I don't know who did it, but the 2 week to slow, that was their move. So was that, she doesn't understand what communism is, nor do many people. Nope. So isn't there something more important to deal with than this mask fight? And you know, I hate Nancy Pelosi. So I gotta give it to her.
Speaker Mask Hole, please. Yeah. Come on, let's use her real title.
I'm sorry, Speaker Mask Hole, which is so clever. When is your HBO special, Boebert? When is it coming? It's hard for me for her, because at this point, both sides are using it as like this political volleyball, and it's really annoying because it should just be about the science. And we should just be wearing masks forever because I don't like when people cough in my face. So I don't really think it's a big deal. I like it. I don't have to wear lipstick as much. If I have a pimple, no one sees it. So I prefer masks. And this whole thing is just ridiculous. We have so many things to worry about. Colorado, honey, there is shit happening. Oh, I'm sorry. There's stuff happening in your state that needs your attention. And it's not masks or mask holes or putting papers in the trash, which is not a clever thing to say. Ironically.
Exactly. No. But this is what she was elected for. To her credit, she is doing her job, which is going on Real Voice America Eagle TV or whatever, and lying about COVID deaths. So, by the way, someone had asked, I think a perfectly fair question, the Twitch, how many were dying in Texas before that? I don't know. I don't have that data. I do have more data to show you. And by the way, like, if she wanted to try to make the point that they said when Texas lifted its mandate that tons of people were going to die, I've looked at the numbers. It was 3,500. It's acceptable.
It's a big state.
I will accept $3,500 for a big state if that means the economy gets to go back, and I will stand by that. I will be courageous in saying I will sacrifice 3,500 other people so that you can like get your hair done in person. I don't know. Then do that. But saying we were right, nobody died. That's fantasy land Care Bear thinking. That's not how it works.
Don't insult the Care Bears. They would never lie like that.
They would never lie, but
they're honest
anyway,
souls.
And look, I just want to, it would be so easy to know the information. Can we jump to this chart, the Texas COVID-19 update chart? So like fatalities reported over the last few days. So Sunday they had zero. Maybe it's a reporting thing. Sundays are always low or whatever. Maybe they had zero. I don't know.
Yeah.
Saturday, 42, 61 the day before that, 55 before that, 58 before that, 41 before that, 23 before that. Now you may say that's not enough for me to care or whatever, but it's like still a bunch of people dying in one state. Like yeah. I think that's worthy of a little bit of respect and acknowledgement, not erasing the tragedy. Dozens of families devastated every single day.
Yeah, it's an abomination for her to say things like that. It's horrible.
Exactly, exactly. And yet she's not even one of our garbage people.
But she doesn't abide by rules anyway. She's bringing guns into the Capitol. She just, you know, the Republicans are all about comply or die. This is the thing with the mask. You could die if you don't wear a mask. You should comply because you could get sick. Mm-hmm. Just like the 3,500 people in Texas, which were avoidable deaths. It's very sad.
Exactly. If you've been worried that the US was still planning to buy Greenland, rest assured that's not gonna happen. US Secretary of State Antony Blinken on Thursday confirmed that the US does not seek to buy Greenland after then President Donald Trump had proposed buying the island, sparking diplomatic fallout. And I just wanna say, I completely forgot about this. How weird of a time it was.
That
was like a thing that generated headlines like, sure, Trump can buy Greenland, but why does he think it's up to Denmark? That was in Politico's magazine, I think. And Trump confirmed that he was considering attempting to buy Greenland.
Yeah.
Now, is that true? I don't know. He said it. Does him saying anything mean anything? I don't know. Sometimes it does, sometimes not. It's hard to know exactly when, but man, it's weird to think back on some of the weird little I guess news cul-de-sacs we got stuck in thanks to Donald Trump over the last few years.
Every single day there was some ridiculous thing that he said that was new. And I don't think anybody really took this seriously when it happened, but I cannot help but think of that quote from The Princess Bride. Trump, do you want me to put you back where I found you? Unemployed in Greenland.
Greenland.
There you go.
I remember. Can we show the meme? Because when I scrolled up on our rundown doc and I saw that you had requested a meme from The Princess Bride, I thought that's a nice little treat for old Johnny Pie on a Friday. Thank you for that. What
such a
good
great
movie.
Scene. Yeah.
Such a great scene. I want to get that guy on the
And
show
actually, that picture of Greenland that you showed looks beautiful. I need to go check it out. And that's you can actually go scuba diving the Arctic Divide nearby, and I'm certified to do so. Can you imagine? You could touch two continents at once.
That's exciting. I'm touching one right now. That's always been enough for me, but she aims higher. Anyway, really fast, I just want to remind you again, because it's just, I hope that some people didn't have to know about this, but now I'm going to make you. Denmark essentially owns it. The most powerful man in the world once said, we're very good allies with Denmark. We protect Denmark like we protect large portions of the world. So the concept came up and I said, certainly I'd be strategically, it's interesting and we'd be interested, but we'll talk to them a little bit. It's not number one on the burner, I can tell you that. I hope not.
It sounds like we need to call a realtor and make an offer.
Exactly. I don't know. Real estate market's pretty hot. I don't know. I think you got to come in with cash.
Yeah.
You're going to want to go at least 100 billion over asking.
Yeah.
And get rid of all of your contingencies, you know, to like check the ports and stuff. You don't want to do that. Just take
it's
the ports.
It's too bad the US doesn't qualify for the first time country. Fire experience.
Exactly. Anyway, in Greenland. It's the end of the week, and so it's time to take out the trash. Though Brett Ehrlich might be gone for trash day, our garbage can does need to be fed. So, Viviana, who is your garbage person of the week?
He's a garbage person of the last two decades, Benjamin Netanyahu.
Oh, that's a serious one.
Yeah, sorry.
Why is that?
Well, if you could roll the footage, then you'll see. He's been the longest serving prime minister ever. He's been in charge since 2009, and he had a lot of power even before that, since the 80s. And we're just seeing the devastation. You know, we talked about it at the beginning of the show, John. He's only representing part of the people in his area, the occupied territory, because of the lack of, you know, structured government or structured authority, you know, that represents the Palestinian people, which I don't know how you can kind of get together and create something strong when you're being bombed nonstop. But the human rights violations that this man scoffs at is just horrific, and he's a piece of garbage. He needs to be set aside. There are so many Israelis who have a heart and a soul that should be in charge. Mm-hmm. And it's not him.
Yeah, look, I think that there are probably a good number of, especially right-wing politicians there, that were they to be in charge, there would be a lot of similarities. That said, he is a particularly negative influence on the possibilities of peace, obviously.
It's never
his
good.
His own criminality. Continue.
I was just going to say, it's never good when somebody's in power for that long. It's just not right.
That's also true, yeah. Yeah, and his own corruption, the possibility that any particular military tactic or even the conflict entirely could be driven by a desire to distract from his own legal issues or his own domestic political issues. Look, I understand, and it's difficult to prove, obviously, but there is so much on the line, there's so much riding on it, that the idea that someone who has given so little reason for trust in literally anything having to do with government would be in control of the lives and deaths of so many people
be empowered by the US government and being treated with respect and deference after the human rights violations that he has been accused of and convicted of and by the world. You know, what is happening here? And Israel needs to really take it into consideration that this is not making you look good, guys. You know, and I know Israelis, and they're wonderful people. And this is not about Israelis. This is not about Jews. This is about government, and this is about power. And absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Exactly. Good point. Good garbage person. My garbage person of the week is US House candidate Anthony Bouchard. Now, I don't have a working printer, so I can't throw him in the trash, but you just have to imagine him going in here. And it's a really weird case, so hold on to your butts. This is gonna get weird. He apparently had a relationship with and impregnated a 14-year-old girl back when he was 18. He told the Star Tribune late yesterday, hours after he disclosed the relationship in a Facebook Live video to his supporters. So having a normal one there. Now, he says that he went public with the information to get ahead of the story after learning that people were investigating it in opposition to his candidacy. So maybe just on face alone, on the nature of the story alone, you understand why I'm choosing him, but there's a couple other wrinkles. So one is a particular statement he put out about what happened. Look at the way he chose to frame it. So bottom line, it's a story when I was young, two teenagers, girl gets pregnant. You've heard those stories before. She was a little younger than me. So it's like the Romeo and Juliet story. Ew.
Like they killed themselves.
That's true. And it gets dark in that area, actually. But no, it's not. First of all, it shouldn't be the Romeo and Juliet story. Secondly, I don't think you've read Romeo and Juliet, because there's some other aspects of that story that you're missing. Yeah. Third of all, do not try to distract from what you apparently worry is going to be a big scandal because you're trying to get in front of it by implying that it's just Shakespearean. That's my life. I'm like something the bard would write on. That's weird.
He spoke about it with fondness. Two teenagers in love. She was a child. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big age gap when you're that age. And, you know, my problem when things like this happen, it's the same thing with Cuomo and you know, Governor Cuomo with the crap he did, is like, just own up. You know what? It was wrong. It's unequivocally wrong. I messed up. I was making poor choices at 18. It's really disgusting looking back on it. And I don't know how to move forward. I hope people can see that I've changed. And I reject what I did. I reject anybody doing such a thing. Don't talk about it fondly. Well, we all, you know.
Yeah, like
we rape 14-year-olds once in a while. Everybody rapes a 14-year-old.
Yeah, it's
obviously rape, there's John. It's rape.
Yeah. Obviously. It's statutory rape. And he married the girl when she was 15 and he was 19. The two were legally able to get married at the time because Florida law, I could just end at Florida, because Florida, basically. Because Florida law stated that people could marry at any age with a judge's approval if a pregnancy was involved and a parent consented. They got divorced approximately 3 years later. She tragically killed herself when she was 20, to which he said she had problems in another relationship. Her dad committed suicide. Anyway, he encouraged his supporters to share the video that he put up on Facebook Live, saying he wanted everyone to know, I don't want to hide anything, which is why I waited until the story was about to be published before coming out. That's the other thing. Like, there's the situation, there's the really weird description of it where it's Romeo and Juliet and you're some sort of tragic, like, victim of all of this. And then there's, and I deserve credit for honesty because I only came out with this because I was worried that if I didn't try to get out in front of it and, you know, it would look even worse. That's
every gaslighter's move. They always go for, I'm being honest, after they're found out. You know, how horrific to compare it to Romeo and Juliet when she actually killed herself. You are a piece of crap, garbage.
That is a weird.
Shove them in there, sick.
Okay, right sicko. In there. I don't have a paper, but it's
I'm gonna back up a little bit. I don't qualify it as statutory rape. I don't qualify it, John. I say rape.
Sure, I just mean that that's legally the designation, but you're totally right. Yeah. Anyway, super weird. We're a country full of weird people anyway. Well, and look, he's frustrated because, like, there were people digging into his past because he's, like, challenging Liz Cheney. Okay, I'd be frustrated by that too, I guess. But don't do the things that someday someone will dig in your past.
Yeah, dig in my past. I haven't ever raped anyone. Dig in there. Join us.
I'm gonna trust you. But anyway, yes. Okay. Those are our garbage people of the week, but what about all of you? What about the 27,000 of you in the Dragon Squad that voted for the community garbage person of the week? Well, we have our top five, and coming in at number five is TYT's printer at 5% of the vote for its attempts to sabotage the pre-show. It has been a first world struggle. Let me just say that. Yeah. And please, if you work for TYT and you know how printers work, please just come and fix it. I don't want to. Anyway, number four. Coming in 11%, my iPad. I'm joking. It's Sean Hannity for calling Rashida Tlaib a Holocaust lover. I feel like that deserves more than fourth place, but okay. Number three is Marjorie Greene at 16% for her dangerous obsession with AOC that I worry will at some point turn violent. Number two is Greg Abbott at 26% of the vote for effectively banning abortion in Texas. And number one, beating out Greg Abbott at 42% of the vote, is Andrew Clyde for comparing insurrectionists to Taurus. Yeah, that's the most obvious lie, the most just obvious lie imaginable to say something like that. How could you look yourself in the mirror? And yet he seems to be doing okay with it, Viviana.
I'm just gonna go back to your printer and another IT crowd reference. Have you tried turning it off and on again?
Many people sent me that quote as a result of the printer. And indeed I have, yes. This is going to end with me pulling an office space on that printer. And then being fired for destroying TYT property.
Just buy a new printer. Planned obsolescence, John. It's not supposed to work anymore.
Anyway, but thank you to the 27,000 of you who voted. Always on Thursdays, just head on over to the community tab. Make it a part of your day on YouTube. And you get to vote. It's fun. Anyway, Viviana, as always, thank you so much. Dark topics, but we also managed to have a lot of fun. I think, the Viviana guarantee. We're going to do both of those. So thank you very much for that.
I would wake up my dog, but he's very tired after a long night of doing nothing. So,
you know, Discus Dragon in the audience sent in a box of dog and cat toys. Maybe we got to get one for Frank. There's a bunch of them there. Maybe
Frank's a little bit of an old man now. He would like a chicken strip of something. Yeah, he's like, toys.
We will send Chick-fil-A over for Frank. If you'll take
not a Chick-fil-A, John.
Oh, that's
not
true.
Chick-fil-A. Popeyes? How dare
Popeyes?
Tampoco.
Anyway, okay. And by the way, until your next appearance on the show, where can people watch your work?
Well, you can check me out on Twitter and on Instagram. And I have a show called Contextualize This. I'm actually working on some investigative journalism piece about some horrific stuff that's happening to farm workers in the Central Valley of California. So that's going to be a long time coming. So I'm kind of working on that. It's going to be quiet a little bit because I'm spending a lot of time in the grape fields.
Awesome. By the way, in the chat right now, Yeetwood Max says, not homophobic chicken for Frank. And Telly Panda says, Frank does not like Jesus chicken. That's definitely true. But anyway, Viviana, as always, thank you so much and have a good one.
Thank you, John, for having me. Have a great vacation.
Thank you. I certainly will.
And goodbye to your fans. Love you guys. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.